If I keep my body moving and my mind occupied at all times, I will avoid falling into a bottomless pit of despair.
If tomorrow my company goes under, I will just start another paper company, and then another, and another, and another. I have no shortage of companies.
Michael,
that's one of them. Yes.
Welcome into another episode of the Nothing Catchy Podcast. This is your host, Michael Dewey. And with me today, I got Jake Prosser, the guy who beat my butt this week. Welcome, Jake.
Hey, thank you, Mike. Glad we were able to make this work and definitely not do a second take here.
Yeah, this is definitely not the second take for anybody who's listening. The producer over here did not forget to hit the record button.
Nope, didn't happen.
But yep. I will want to say, though, congratulations. Well, two things that are very important to say. One, congratulations on beating my butt. You really do deserved it. You did a great job. That was a great game. I came down to the wire. I got so excited because when that touchdown happened at the beginning of the game, I was like, I've got this. Alvin Kamara can score one touchdown and get 100 yards. I've got this. It's over. But nothing else happened after that touchdown. So congratulations on that. And then number two, I really should apologize to your mom, you know. Miss Prosser, I just want to say I'm sorry for bringing your name up. I should have kept your name out of my mouth. Much love to you. One thing I did want to say, though, bringing into that awkwardness again for the Prosser family, is there a way to get a shirtless picture of Jake so that I can put you and Kirk Cousins together and see who wore it best? Who has a better six-pack? You know, Jake or Kirk Cousins? Because I'll be honest, I was kind of surprised with Kirk Cousins' six-pack. It was quite prominent.
Pretty fit dude. Pretty fit dude for sure.
Do you have a six pack? I mean, personal question.
I work on my fitness from time to time.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll leave it at that.
I know you got the guns on the arms, the Guns Mahoney's over here. Maybe you miss ab day every once in a while or something. I want to go over a few things for the league that I noticed today that are really important. Number one, there's four more weeks left until the playoffs. So anybody who is trying to make a push, trying to get into the playoffs, now's the time. The only person who is, I think, theoretically eliminated from the actual playoffs is myself. I am one game back from the next person. And with four games left, the best I could possibly do would be under 500 still. And really, truly, I don't see everybody else losing every single weekend. It just statistically, mathematically, not going to happen. So I'm the only one that I think is theoretically eliminated. Everybody else can still keep pushing for it. Along that same
line. You technically, you have a 1% playoff chance. You're not eliminated yet.
I think that 1% chance is if everybody loses, though.
You're saying there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance. Let's look at this real quick. I think I have the schedule up, or I did. Hold on. I got the league standing. I'll bring up the schedule here. Looking at it, I have to go up against Hertz Donuts this week. 7-2. That's almost an impossibility. But if I pull that off, if I pull off the miracle and I beat him, then next week I have to go up against Vladdy Daddy, who is 5-4 right now. There's a chance I could beat him. Mm-hmm. And then I have to go up against Gritty Gritty Bang Bang. I can win that one. He's on a 7-game win lose streak right now.
That's crazy. Crazy, by the way.
Yeah. And then I go up against Team Fitz. So I could probably beat Team Fitz as well. Really, truly, if I'm going to even have the smallest amount of hope, I have to win this weekend against Hertz Donut. And looking at the other teams, I need the next week, or actually this week as well, who do I need to lose? I need Vladdy Daddy to win. Vladdy has to beat Jared or Team Mess. Mm-hmm. So that needs to happen. The week afterwards, that's good. Both Hertz and Team Mess will play each other, so one of them will lose then. And I think I need you to drop two games. And if I can get you to drop two games, then I could probably pull it off. But it's going to be tight, to say the least.
That is that's a kind of a tough schedule to end the year because, I mean, Team Fitz, right now he's 6-8. in the standings, but he started 0-5 and he's now 4-5. He's won 4 in a row.
Yeah.
He's right on my tail now. So, you know, that's not a gimme. His team got so hot.
Yeah. And what's kind of fun is I was behind everybody by points for most of the season. And I was actually just looking at it. I'm gaining on some of you guys. Like, I'm right behind you. I'm not too far behind you now. Not far behind Team Fitz, and not far behind Team Vladdy Daddy. So I'm pretty proud of myself. I'm going to keep pushing. My goal is to get the number one seed, at least in the loser bracket, if I don't make it into the playoffs. But we'll see.
You're talking about points four?
Yeah, the points four. That's how many you score in a game.
Yeah, so you're only 65 points behind me and 15 points behind Fitz. So, yeah, you're right there.
Yeah. And before, I think I was like 100 points behind everybody for a while. So,
yep.
I started out terrible and could not get it together, and the running backs were not doing what they need to do. And then now they're doing pretty well. Now I actually have, I think, 4 legit starters every week, and I don't have enough spots to start them all. So the other thing to talk about with that along that line is, if anybody is wanting to trade, I know we haven't had any trades yet this year. If you are wanting to trade, November 30 is the deadline for trading. So you have, I think, 3 more weeks left. It's literally just before the last week of the season that the trading ends. So maybe if somebody wants to pick up my $20 bill to give the winner of the league, I might trade a running back too, maybe.
That's awesome.
I don't know. I'm trying to find some way to make to make it worth somebody's trade. Because it's not gonna, I mean, I don't really think, especially if I lose this week. If I lose this week, let me tell you, that $20, winner bit is going to be part of the trade option. So I'll give a running back, plus you cover my tab, and, you may be able to get yourself a running back for the playoffs. I don't know if that's allowed or not, but I'm just saying, gotta try to get something out of it for what it's worth.
Have you looked at, it's just kind of fascinating. I have the full standings, everything I'm looking at right now. And it's really fascinating to see how many moves everyone has made. Have you looked at these numbers?
No, what do you got?
So you lead the league in roster moves with 25. You've made 25 roster moves.
Nice.
Second is Doug, Reed's Naughty Boys. He's made 20. So you have 5 more roster moves. Then Phoenix Vladdy Daddy has 18. I'm at 15. Are the top people in the league. So I'm looking at Jared. How does this work by rank? Wow. Is Jared's the number one seed right now. He's made only 5 moves, and Hertz Donut has only made 8 moves. So the top 2 seeds just nailed their drafts, nailed them.
Yeah. That I think that just shows you, like, the bottom just had to keep hustling. But the thing that's the most surprising is the team who was at the bottom has made 0 moves. Team Fitz. Zero moves. He's never done anything. He hasn't done any drops, any waiver wires, nothing. But yet he's on a 5-game win streak or 4-game win streak. What?
That's crazy. Having a player drop 55 in a single match helps a little bit, I think, but yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. I was in a league with a family league, and my league name there is always Be Trading, because I'm always like sending trade offers always. And I think it's the same thing. Like, my transactions are always high. I'm always just trying to find that next thing, think a few steps ahead, try to acquire whenever I can, even if I don't need it, I just get it, kind of a thing. I mean, that's why I have so many running backs on my team. Is I finally got him to stick. Walker, when I picked him up, he was, I didn't need him, but I was like, you know what? I've heard everything, everybody's saying that he's going to be one of the best running backs out there. So I grabbed him. He's now a starter. So it's like, it worked. You know, I got a running back that really paid off for me, but yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy. I just, still amazing. Team Fitz, no transactions. That takes a lot of discipline, or he's not paying attention to the league. I don't know which it is.
He's a busy dude. He's a busy dude. He has a kid who's maybe 4 or 5 months old at this point. But
oh man,
So he's a busy man, but he said that he sets it, you know, every week he hops on the app real quick and just sets the lineup. He said this week he forgot to replace someone. I was texting with him during game time. And I was like, dude, Mixon going off for 55 points. Mixon, right?
Yeah.
Mixon?
Yeah. Joe Mixon.
And he's like, he's hard carrying me right now because I have a couple empty slots. I'm like, jeez.
Yeah, I think he had a tight end and a defense or something like that. Yeah, it was something crazy. I was like, oh, yep. My goodness. And he still won. Man, that's a demoralizing loss for the other side.
Real quick, and I'll let you move things along here.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about just the ebbs and flows of fantasy football are so crazy. Yeah. We've already talked about Fitz, Team Fitz, starting 0-5, winning 4 in a row. And conversely, I feel so bad for Lige, starting 3-0 and now losing 6 in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he is.
Wow.
Yeah. Is it 6 or is it 7 in a row?
6 in a row. He's 3-6 after starting 3-0.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah, that
brutal.
He had a pretty bad injury. Who was it that he lost?
Whiteouts?
It was Swift and Brown. He lost both of them, and that's when it all went downhill. And the truth is, mm-hmm. both of them are back, but they're not even really performing to the same level they were prior.
No.
So that's kind of a bummer. That is such a bummer. See, this is one of those situations where I know you talked about trading before and how you're like, yeah, I got burned so many times, you know, and I don't want to give you on the losing end of a trade. And it takes some of the biggest balls to trade people when they're on their high for somebody who you think could be a good prospect. Because that's sometimes how you have to get those trades down. Is like if he had traded Amon-Ra St. Brown like 2 weeks ago, even while he was injured, I bet he could have gotten some good return for it. And then looking at how Amon-Ra St. Brown's been going since, like it's really nothing better than what you can get on the waiver wire right now. And so that would have been a huge return that he could have gotten probably a decent running back or, I mean, his tight end is Kyle Pitts. Oof. He could have probably upgraded his tight end, you know, anything along that line. But yeah, it takes some pretty big, risky cojones to pull that off. I don't have the stomach sometimes to do that because, I mean, I throw out those trades to you guys. And I mean, there's been multiple times this year where I send those trades out. And then as the week is going, there's been somebody who will say, I should have taken that trade. And it's like, yeah, I'm so glad you didn't. Thanks. Because on the flip side is it would have been bad on my side. But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm looking at Elijah's team right now. And like in those first couple weeks, he had Lamar going off. Lamar had 20, 43, and 40. And since then, his high is 20. So it's like, he just had these players who were popping off, going crazy the first few weeks, and have since, unfortunately, kind of leveled out. Another one, St. Brown. Is it pronounced Amon-Ra? St. Brown?
Yeah, Amon-Ra.
Is that right? Yeah. 20, 35, 10. Since then, he's only hit 10 once. So it's just like...
Yeah, it's
man, cool. The ebbs and flows. Ebbs and flows. You're really never out. Like, I mean, unless you're 2-7. Sorry, Mike.
Unless you're 2-7 and have been struggling this whole time. Pretty much. Yeah, you've beaten me both times. You're 2-0 against
me. You're half of my wins.
Man, it must feel good to beat up on the little guy there, Jake. Beating up on the little guy.
My goodness.
Shoot. Well, let's go ahead and hop over and let's do some news and notes. There's not a whole lot going on this week, I don't think.
Don't watch the news, because I'm a kid, and apparently every time, Grandfather gives me the remote after we watch the Powerball.
Yeah, so there's not a lot of injuries. QBs, for example, there's a lot of options out there. Not a lot of injuries happening to people. I can't even think of one. I went and did some research and trying to find, and it's like nobody really of note that is worth talking about that would be on a waiver wire already. So really no QBs that are hurt. Wide receivers, it's pretty close to the same thing. There's only two of note that I really wanted to talk about, which was Romeo Doubs for the Green Bay Packers. He has an ankle injury. Not that the Packers are really that great anyway this year, but I do think he is their main or their best option, and it's kind of showing that Aaron Rodgers has no one now. I don't think anybody even has him, though. I think he's on the waiver wire still, so it's like not much to really talk about. And then again, Rashad Bateman with the Ravens. He's on IR, plans to come back. I do think that's the piece that's missing for Lamar Jackson, to be honest with you. I think if Rashad Bateman does come back, I do think Lamar gets better. I watched that Ravens game, and he just doesn't have the same kind of wide receiver options. Once he lost Hollywood Brown and, you know, those wide receivers, he just hasn't had anybody. Is there anything of the wide receivers that you feel like you want to talk about, or?
No, just other than you briefly mentioning the Packers, what a debacle over there. Is Adam Lazard, he's healthy, right?
I think he might still, let me check real quick.
Okay. From what I've seen of the Packers, Lazard seems to be who Rodgers trusts the most, it seems. But yeah, man, that wideout core is pretty yikes.
Lazard is active, no injury.
Okay, so Lazard is there, but yeah, I wouldn't trust anything. I wouldn't touch the Packers, any Packers player right now. I have Aaron Jones, but I just kind of gotta stick with him. He's averaging like 10 points, I think. But
well, he's in the next section. He's got an injury now.
Yeah, I saw he was questionable.
So his injury designation, supposedly it's not super serious. They're going to keep doing tests on it. But based upon the fact that they're losing, you know, mm-hmm. you never know. They may just let him sit for a little while. I mean, because his backup's not that bad, honestly. Dylan, I think, is his backup.
Yeah.
If they need to, they'll just stick with A.J. Dylan. And A.J. Dylan's already on a team, so sorry for your if you're trying to hope to pick him up. But yeah, he's hurt, and then Jonathan Taylor is still hurt with his ankle injury. Those are really the only two running backs of note that are currently injured or actively injured this last weekend. And then the last one is tight end Mark Andrews. I know that the Ravens are on bye. Speaking for bye weeks, Ravens, Bengals, Patriots, Jets. Those are the teams that are on bye. But really, there hasn't been, you know, knocking on wood, any major injuries the last few weeks, which is a great thing for the players. Not so good for people who want to try to sneak a win in by, you know, stealing someone off the waiver wire.
Right.
But yeah, anything of news or any like suspensions? Oh, actually, Alvin Kamara. Do you think Alvin Kamara potentially is going to get suspended this year?
Oh, due to that video that leaked?
Yeah.
Is that what you're referencing?
Yeah.
Man. It's so hard to know what the NFL deems permissible. Like,
right.
Sometimes players get away with things, and I'm like, And then other times they lay down the hammer for what seemed to be not a big deal.
A vacuum.
Time, but right, yeah. So who's to know? If I had a gun to my head, answer that, I would say no. I don't think the NFL's gonna do anything. Maybe a fine. I don't know.
I think he'll have probably a 2-game suspension.
You think they'll hand it out? Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, the fact that they see him punching somebody, I think that does it reflects poorly on the NFL. However, this is going to sound really bad, but I tweeted this even. I was like, at least he's punching a dude. Progress, you know?
Right.
You know, it's one of those situations where since he's punching a dude, maybe it's going to come out that the other guy was instigating, and so there's going to be more lenience with it. But I do still think that based upon the fact that there's video evidence of him representing the NFL in a poor light, they're going to do something. I just don't know if it's going to be this year. I would be fine if it is this year, but I would hope they would figure it out sooner than later. But their MO is typically they don't send out any fines until all the legal stuff is done. So I think that case is still pending or, you know, has some litigation going on. And so until that happens, I don't think we'll get anything. So we'll probably wait until next year, I'm guessing, personally. So
yeah, that's a good call.
But yeah, without that, I mean, that's all the injuries and all the news that we got going on. So let's go ahead and check out what's on the waiver wire.
First bar, factory reject. Those hoes are hard to frazzle, Max. But we did our worst, and that's all that matters.
That's right. You get your factory rejects right here. There's a number of them who actually I think are really, really good. And if I had an extra spot and I needed it, I would totally snag a few of them. Starting with the QB, tell me which one of these you would want to grab right now if you had to. Dak Prescott, Marcus Mariota, or Jimmy G?
Give me the options again.
Dak Prescott, Marcus Mariota, or Jimmy G? Just so you know, Dak Prescott's playing this week Green Bay. Marcus Mariota is playing Carolina, and Jimmy G is playing the Chargers.
Dak's going up against Green Bay. You know, I might. Well, I'm interested in your thoughts on this one. I might go Jimmy G just because of he's in. That Christian McCaffrey, man, they're getting him the ball, and if Jimmy can get any swing passes out to him, he's going to take that thing. He's going to bust out some moves with the ball. So, if I had to pick, yeah, I'm taking Jimmy G.
Yeah, I'd actually do the same as well. Even though he's the least projected, well, I guess Dak has a little less projected. I would definitely do that as well. There's some other ones that are like some big risky ones that you potentially could get good on, with like Justin Fields is out there.
Yes.
He's going up against Detroit. I just don't know if I trust him yet. He had one game that's good. That's it. And yes, it's going against the number one or the worst defense in the league. I still don't know if I can trust him. I mean, would you? Would you?
Man, I was actually looking at Justin Fields the other day after this big game. I was like, let me check his fantasy performance. His last three games are serviceable to great.
Yeah.
23 points, 26 points, and 42 points with, let's see, that's 6 passing touchdowns, 9 total touchdowns in the last 3 weeks from Justin Fields.
Those rushing touchdowns, they're good.
Yeah, exactly. So, man, and it's against Detroit, who is, they're allowing a lot of points. They're allowing a lot of points to opposing teams. Every time I see the scoreboard, it looks like they're either in a shootout or getting blown out. So,
yeah,
he's enticing. If I was in need, if I didn't have Patrick Mahomes, who is the number two scoring quarterback, I probably risk it for the biscuit with Justin Fields, even over Jimmy G, personally.
Yeah. No, I actually agree with you. I think that he would be a good one. What's crazy
to me, I don't trust him, though. I agree with you. I do not trust him, but I'd probably risk it.
Yeah. It's crazy to me is that we're talking about Justin Fields right now, and Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson are both on the waiver. Neither one of us could even care less about those two. I don't think Russell Wilson's turning around this season, and Aaron Rodgers is pretty much toast. Derek Carr, even though he's going against Indy, wouldn't go after him either. Like, no. But there's some really interesting matchups. I do think you're right. I think Justin Fields is one that is a play this week. If you need a pinch right now, play him this week. But somebody I would look into for the rest of season, if you need a good backup, is Dak Prescott. I know people don't really like him a whole lot, but he has a decent playoffs. He has Tennessee and Washington for the last two. And I know everybody raised Mahomes, but I think you can still pass on Tennessee. And I think Dallas is a pretty good team. I think that could be a pretty good serviceable one if you need to have somebody for the playoffs, if you don't have a good QB.
Yeah, and real quick, going back to what you were saying about Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, two guys who are historically studs when it comes to fantasy football. Mm-hmm. I would right now in 2022, going into week 11 of the NFL, 10 of the 10. NFL season.
Yep.
I would start Jacoby Brissett or Andy Dalton this next week over either of those guys, mostly based on matchup and recent performance. Wow. Both of those guys are going up against bad defenses, with Jacoby Brissett going up against Miami, who's opponent ranked 32nd, so dead last.
Yeah.
And Andy Dalton going up against Pittsburgh, ranked 29th. Both of those guys, I would start. If I was in need of a quarterback, I would start either of those guys over Rodgers or Wilson, which is crazy to say.
That is crazy. That is really crazy. I don't know if I would go as far to do Jacoby Brissett. He's another one that I don't trust hardly at all.
Fair.
Because, I mean, if you look at Rodgers, he's going to get you the consistency of like 16 to 13 points. But
yeah,
like, he doesn't have a floor that's lower than that. But Brissett has a really low floor. Like, he could pretty much like get you nothing. What is his lowest? Is 8 points.
Eight. So, an 8-point game. Yeah, it's fair. Very low floor.
Yeah, so I would probably still do Aaron Rodgers over Brissett, but I think I am with you as well. Andy Dalton, he does have a low floor as well, but it's not as low as Brissett. I was actually really surprised at how bad he did against Baltimore, to be honest with you. I was expecting a lot more from him. But I'm realizing, a little side tangent here, coaches matter so much on teams. So much. And I've forgotten how much I don't like Allen, the coach of the Saints. He's a terrible coach. And I always, you think the players will overcompensate for it? No, he is terrible. Like, cannot figure out how to run an offense, period. Avoid their teams that he's coaching. And then also, Josh McDaniels, terrible, terrible coach. That the Raiders had so much potential to be a good team and to be up there with the Chiefs this year. Again, he is just terrible at orchestrating any sort of consistency out of his team. So fantasy wise, stay away from those coached types teams. So,
yeah, I completely agree. And going to Josh McDaniels, who would have thought after his amazing stint with Denver back in although I guess he did win a playoff game with Tim Tebow, right? Wasn't he the coach at that point? But
maybe that was Jesus.
Yeah, he hasn't proven. Sorry,
that was Jesus' blessing. You know, his player. His almighty player, Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow. Tebowing. 100% agree. Coaching is so much in the NFL where you have these elite athletes. You can get the most out of them. Good play calling and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, coaching.
For sure. Moving over to the running backs, there's not a lot to pick up. If you are in need of a running back, good luck. Because, there's really... I mean, looking on here, you got Kenyon Drake, right, for Baltimore. But Baltimore's on bye this week. And so you're like, okay, this week I can't play him. And there's reports that Gus Edwards is coming back for Baltimore next week after their bye. So at that point, Kenyon Drake's probably going to be the backup and or more obsolete. So where they're going to be splitting, so both of them will be irrelevant. Other than that, I don't see Nyheim Hines being good from Buffalo. J.K. Dobbins still on IR. Melvin Gordon, can't trust him. Deion Jackson with Indy, don't trust that offense. Again, I don't know what Indy's going to be like. All my Indy players, I'm benching Michael Pitts this week because I just can't trust any sort of play calling, any sort of anything, time management, all brand new coaches. There's an assistant coach who's now going to be the offensive coordinator. He went from being an assistant coach, not saying that he can't be and he could be the best thing since sliced bread, but I'm saying in half a week's prepared time to go from an assistant coach to all of a sudden calling the plays, things are going to go wrong. I 100% believe it. And so I will take the L on that one if I'm wrong, but I would not trust any Colts players right now. Not till we get some more history, I guess, but even then, by then you're in the playoffs. So,
right.
And I'll be honest, if you're looking for one of these running backs right now and you're pushing for the playoffs, none of these guys are going to get you there. You need to start making trades for running backs. And by the way, congrats on picking up my running back that I dropped that one when I needed to swap somebody out. I'm banking on the fact that he's going to be the backup here before the too much longer, but we'll see. Running backs, there's not much out there. Make trades is my advice. Wide receivers, there's some interesting ones. The ones I stuck on my list on the website or my doc, they're all averaging between 10 and 15 points a week. But I was curious if anybody jumped out at you for wide receivers. If you had to pick somebody and play somebody this week, who would you go for?
I'm looking at the available wide receivers list right now. So I think I actually had, was it in this league or the other league? Chase Claypool. Was it in this league? I can't remember. I had Chase Claypool in one of my leagues. And one of those weeks, week six, he had 20 points. He had a 20 bomb. That was against Tampa Bay when they knocked them off. But he's on a new team now.
Yeah. He's with those Bears.
That's right.
If we can trust that Justin Fields.
We were just hyping up Justin Fields a little bit. So, but again, a lot of these guys are coin flips. No one's really sticking out to me at this point. Entering week 10 here.
Yeah.
I feel like most of us have our guys that we know. If we're going to be making a playoff push, we know our core. If you have a buy and you need to pick someone up, man, you're flipping a coin either way.
You know who I think people should look out for is Rondale Moore. He's actually been the one that stepped up since Hollywood Brown went out. He had 19 points last week and 10 the week prior. He's getting the targets 8 and 10 respectively. So he's getting targeted on a regular basis. He's incorporated in the offense. I think the Cardinals offense is a little bit better than what their record or has more potential to be good.
Yeah.
So he's the one that I think is the sneakiest. I had Curtis Samuel at the beginning of the year and I dropped him because I just couldn't handle him, but he's been coming back again with 10, 9, and 15 points. Mm-hmm. So, he very well could be an interesting one, but he's not going to be, he's a boom bust because he's only getting 4 targets on average per week kind of a thing. So not a lot of targets. I would prefer that 8 to 10 range, especially being in a PPR league. And then Garrett Wilson is somebody also to kind of keep an eye on. He's now at 7 and 9 targets on the last 2 weeks and getting 14 to 13. So he potentially is starting to build a rapport with Zach. So he could be potentially a little bit more value. But again, he's bye week, so don't necessarily grab him this week.
If you need someone, MVS is available, and he's getting a touchdown this week. So
I know, based upon his every other. Or are you calling it?
I'm just calling it. I have a feeling MVS is getting in the end zone this week. That would be my pick. Looking at this list,
okay,
I think he's due up. So
it's interesting if you look at MVS's points. Not that this really is a big indicator. He had 12 points, then 0 mm-hmm. points, then 12 points, then 1 point. So based upon that, he's due for like 12 points. And if he got a touchdown, that would put him up to almost 20 points. So
I feel it, man. I think MVS is going to have he's going to get a tub this his first. He doesn't have a receiving touchdown yet this year, which is crazy. I can't believe we don't have a bomb to him yet. Yeah. It's going to happen. He's due. It's happening this week. So you heard it here first, guys.
You heard it here. He called his win last week. So maybe this is it. You know, everybody's going to be scrambling for MVS. Speaking of Chiefs real quick, MVS starts getting more involved, I think he might be the odd man out due to the Tooney trade. I think that they'll try to keep either that or Hardman. I think Hardman could be the one out as well. MVS, I think, is a better Hardman. So I'd be happy if Hardman got the boot and MVS stuck around and then got Tooney, but
I agree. If you plugged MVS into a lot of those Mecole kind of schemed touchdowns, he could do the same thing.
Yeah.
Mecole's touchdowns, Mecole's actually been getting quite a few touchdowns this year. I think he has 4 or 5 on the season.
Yeah.
Almost all of them are schemed.
Yep.
He's not making big plays on his own accord. So yeah, you could plug MVS right into his role, I think. And I would also prefer that because I think Mecole's going to be wanting a little more than what we should offer him based on his production with us.
Yep. Agreed. That's the main wide receivers. I mean, I was trying to hide this one a little bit, but since for the sake of the podcast, I'll mention it. Marquise Brown, he is due to come back in 2 weeks. So, Hollywood Brown, if you are looking for a wide receiver for a big push, I had dropped him like a doofus. I might try to pick him up this week if I can. I just don't know who I'm going to drop if I am. Just an FYI, if you are looking, trying to make that big, you can hold on to him kind of a thing. He is, when he comes back, will be good.
You have an IR. We all have one IR spot on our bench. So you could just pop him in there. And if he gets healthy.
One thing I wish they'd allow in fantasy is to be able to pick up players and put them directly in your IR without having to drop somebody else and then put them in, you know, because
that's silly.
That's my hardest part with it is I'm looking at my bench. I'm like, well, I don't want to drop any of these players just to put him on to then have to try to pick him back up again. But I don't know. We'll see. Moving on, tight ends. Tight ends is the area that I think is actually the deepest right now. If anybody wants to get a serviceable player, I mean, obviously, minus Kelsey and Andrews, who are like the top of the top, and Kittle even, I'd put him up there. You're just looking for like a serviceable 10 points. If you get 10 points from a tight end on a regular basis, it's a win. And there's actually a lot on the waiver wire right now that are doing that. So even though Pat Freiermuth with the Steelers is on a terrible team, he's averaging, what's his average here? Hold on. I think he's averaging 8.4. Yeah, he's averaging 8.4 points, which isn't bad. And his high end is not touchdown dependent either. His highest scores were times he did not get a touchdown that week. So that actually shows you he's being used. He's getting, you know, the targets and stuff. So he's worth a look, even though the offense is pretty terrible. They are on bye. So wait, are they on bye? No, they were on bye last week. Excuse me. They're going up against the Saints. Theoretically, the Saints are the number one defense, but I saw a stat based upon all the defenses that the Saints went up against, all the tight ends they went up prior. They were like nobody tight ends, and so that's why it looks like it's a really bad matchup. I mean, you look at last week's, and two different tight ends scored a touchdown on the Saints. So you had Likely, and then you had their other tight end. So if you have a decent tight end, I think you can still score points on the Saints. So don't be scared of Pat Freiermuth if you need a tight end. Dalton Schultz.
The ultimate boom or bust pickup for tight end, Taysom Hill, 100%.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I so want to pick him up and him be good. But again, coming back to his coach tells me I can't trust it. Like his floor is literally nothing. But his boom
1 point
is amazing.
40 points.
Yeah, 40 points.
Just about 34. Crazy.
Yeah, which I just don't think. For me, it's hard because it's like if he's going to blow up, that means Alvin Kamara definitely didn't. And so it's like trying to predict who's getting it. Is it Alvin Kamara? Is it going to be the other guy? I don't know. Or is it neither? And they just can't move the ball worth beans. I don't know. Dalton Schultz with the Cowboys. He's another guy that is worth looking at. His average points is low at 4.7, but that's because he was out with an injury for a while and then coming back. When he was healthy at the beginning of the year, 9.7, and then now that he's getting healthy again, he's back up to 7 and 10. So worth kind of keeping an eye on a little bit as well. There is two more. Who else was I going to talk about? Greg Dulcich. Do you know who Greg Dulcich is, Jake? Have you looked into him?
I have not.
Okay. He's somebody that I am very tempted to pick up. So his average is 10.1 points. He's only really played 3 weeks. He's on the Denver Broncos. Okay. But he has 11 points, 8 points, 10 points. Russell Wilson looks for him, and he's been very productive, getting 51 and 87. And so he's getting more and more yards each week. And when I watch the games, he usually is being overthrown by just the slightest amount for some big chunk type plays. So I would, if anybody's looking for a tight end and is willing to take a risk on it, and so far his floor is not bad. Might mean he's due for a floor game, but he very well could be, I think, that league winner tight end sneaky pick. Is Greg Dulcich with the Denver Broncos. So keep an eye out for him. And then
coming off a bye and playing Tennessee, we'll see for Greg Dulcich in the Broncos.
Yeah.
Tennessee, man, that's a tough matchup.
Very tough.
Just because of how, I don't know, man. I mean, opponent ranked 27th, but the Titans,
they played Kelsey good.
That defense they showed on Sunday night they were balling. They were balling, man.
They really were. And that's kind of my thing. I'm trying not to let my recency bias affect, you know, playing those matchups. But you are correct. Like, the Titans have been good at playing the tight end. And you know, the truth is maybe that was their whole goal. Is they said, we're not going to let Kelsey beat us. But when they play Denver, they're like, they don't have anybody they're scared of. And so they may not play necessarily to take Dulcich out of the game because Dulcich is just kind of a nobody. Maybe they're just going to play the contain and hope that Russell Wilson just overthrows everyone. I don't know. But another one to look into that could be a good one. And it's ironically mirroring our friend Justin Fields again, Cole Kmet. The last few weeks, I drafted Cole Kmet thinking he was going to be good. Was not. Goose egg, 5 points, 3 points, you know, kind of a thing. But he started to pick it up. He's had one touchdown last week or 2 weeks ago and two touchdowns this last one. So he's starting to get more targets and get more incorporated. And Justin Fields appears to be opening it up, and they're going against Detroit. So, again, one of those things where if you're looking for those matchups, Cole Kmet's going to not be fun to play. You're not going to feel good putting him in there, but I think you have a lot of upside with him.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I mean, that kind of sums up the tight end. Like I said, I think the tight ends are deep on the waivers this week. So if you need a tight end, I think the top ones are going to be pretty good plug-and-plays. Nothing really to worry about. All right, so let's wrap it up with talking about defense real quick. So defense, oh, and we got to do power rankings. But defenses to talk about, was there any that jumped out at you off the top of your head that you were interested in this week since you're Mr. Defensive Streamer?
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's all about matchups. So let's pull up this list here. Defense special teams. Wow, that would be incredibly ballsy to play the Colts defense, even though they're going against the Raiders, who seem like a disaster waiting to happen at all points.
I actually think of the other side of that. I would take the Raiders defense, honestly.
Yes, 100% agree with that. I would do that. Yeah, Raiders defense would be a great pickup. They haven't been great this year, fantasy-wise, the Raiders defense. They've given up a lot of, they've blown a lot of leads and given up a lot of points. But
their floor is -1. -1 is the floor. And they've done that three brutal. Weeks. Oh, my gosh.
That's brutal.
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. They have negative points three times with a 0, a 1, and a 2. So it's ballsy, but
I don't know if I have the courage to do it.
I don't think I could. That's so risky. So risky.
Yeah.
Oof.
But it's like, yeah.
Any other good matchups here?
The Broncos for me is, I think, the best matchup this week. Because they're going against Tennessee, and if they have the same quarterback who was in there this last time, and I can't remember his name, I'll have to have the rookie.
Willis?
Yeah, I think that's it. I know the Chiefs are, we have a moderate defense, but I don't think we're amazing. And maybe I'm wrong on that, but they could not move the ball. We literally gave up 17 yards through the second half and overtime. Like, that's it.
Yep.
So there's a chance, and the Broncos are a good defense. I think they are a legit defense. That they could probably get you a solid 10 points on defense, even if they don't get any sacks or very many sacks or anything like that. But I do think they have a potential for a lot of sacks this week.
You could take a risk. You could also take a risk potentially on the Cardinals. Going up against the Rams, just because that offense has not been good. Stafford has been turnover prone this year. Now, they've already played the Rams once, and they only got 3 points against the Rams in their first matchup. So that's somewhat worrisome, but you could risk it. You could risk it. I don't think that's the worst play.
So I just remembered there's an injury that I should have been talking about, but it didn't show up on a report when I was looking at the other stuff, but I remember seeing it on Twitter. QB Josh Allen, he has a hand injury that he's dealing with. He's considered day-to-day, but he's getting some second opinions. I haven't seen anything on Twitter today or anything about how bad it is or severe, but if it is bad, would you take a stab with the Vikings defense?
Yeah, I completely forgot about that too. I saw some people saying potentially like Tommy John surgery, which would be
season ending
at least. Yeah, that'd be 6 months. People were saying at best, which would be devastating for the Bills because they got a squad.
Yeah.
And I mean, even as a Chiefs fan, you know, I don't want that. I want to beat the best to be the best. So I hope that he's okay.
Yeah.
If they have a backup quarterback in, who is their backup? Isn't it? Oh, not Keenum. Is it Keenum?
Is it Tyrod Taylor? Buffalo Bills back depth chart. We'll look it up here real quick. while I'm looking it up, one of those things that's really funny. Oh yeah, Case Keenum. Case Keenum's not bad. I mean,
he's not terrible. He's a serviceable decent game manager.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think they could probably squeak out a win. I think Vikings would probably still beat them, honestly, if Allen's out. But I don't know. If he is out, I think it could be a sneaky defensive grab and play really quickly. But I did want to say, I saw this thing on Twitter as well. So funny, and it's so true. The Bills and the Chiefs rivalry has got to be like the friendliest rivalry, because – when you talk to, like, well, maybe more from the Chiefs' perspective, because we're on the winning side of the rivalry on a more often.
Right.
But, like, we always are rooting for, like, the Bills for success unless they're playing us, kind of a thing. And it feels semi-similar the other way. Like, we know, like, game respects game kind of a thing. But it's not the same when it was, like, the Patriots. Like, we hated the Patriots. No love there whatsoever. When we were losing the Steelers all the time, all the hate in the world to the Steelers. I hated playing the Steelers because no matter how good we were, I knew we were going to lose to the Steelers. They would run the – do you remember the game? A little tangent here. Maybe you do, maybe don't. There was a Steelers game that they ran the ball, I think, 90% of the time with Le'Veon Bell, and we could not stop it. And they literally – ran the entire game and we lost, and I was just like, that was one of the most heartbreaking games for me, because it showed me how terrible our defense was, and it didn't matter how good of an offense we had. When you can just run the ball 5 yards at a time, you drain the entire clock, and you don't give any opportunity to win on the other side. It was so devastating.
And Le'Veon, I remember that game, he was like, he would sit behind the line for like 4 or 5 seconds, then pick a hole and go. And we couldn't get any push. If I'm thinking of the right game.
No, yeah, exactly.
Yep. And then the other, talking about Steelers, the other game that just still have nightmares about it is the playoff game where they didn't score a touchdown and they still beat us.
Oh, yeah.
We did score a touchdown. Just some brutal matchups. I think the reason why I can kind of low key root for the Bills is because. Historically, very similarly to the Chiefs, up until recent history, they weren't very good. You know, that fan base struggled and suffered for a long time, very similar to the Chiefs.
We can relate.
And so it's like, exactly right. We can be like, all right, you guys paid your dues. You paid your dues. You were a terrible team franchise for a long time, and now we're getting the ball rolling here. You've got an elite quarterback, and you know, you can empathize with that fan base.
Yeah. Agreed. And yeah, so bringing it back around, I agree. I hope Josh Allen's not hurt for long term.
Just pulled up. This was posted at, today at, I don't know, time zones are hard, 10:27 p.m. That's probably East Coast time.
Mm-hmm.
So an hour ago, Josh Allen's elbow injury, short term, Bills quarterback expected to play through the pain.
Okay.
Sprained UCL in his elbow. Tiny tear, some sort of injury in his elbow. If you watch in slow motion, it's a lot worse. Okay. So he's not 100% sure that he will play this week, according to, I don't know who was saying this. I don't know, Rappaport or Mike Garofalo.
Okay.
They're saying that he's not 100% sure, but it looks like he will.
Okay. My wife is an OT, an occupational therapist, and I showed her his injury, the diagnosis thing, because OTs do a lot of hand therapy. And deal with actually that injury a lot. And she goes, ooh, that's a rough one. That's a painful one. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he'll actually be as good or if he should. I mean, it's so hard because, yeah, you have the good team, but most of it's contingent on him throwing. They don't have a good running game. And so it's like he probably could have some more picks because he was throwing some pretty nasty picks and stuff. So, I don't know.
He hasn't been playing too pristinely the last couple weeks. Yeah, he hasn't looked. He was playing MVP level, obviously.
Yeah.
Beat the Chiefs. I'm trying to find this stat here. I know I have it. Give me 5 seconds. Here it is. Josh Allen has 4 picks and 2 fumbles in the last 5 quarters of football. So 6 turnovers in the last 5 quarters, you know.
When did the injury happen? Do you know which quarter? So the last 5 quarters, they played the Jets this last week? They did. And it looked like I thought that that was where the injury got aggravated. So maybe he was having some downfall stuff going on, and then it just got aggravated near the end of it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not positive either.
Well, bummer for him, but we'll see how it goes. So let's go ahead.
Fourth quarter. 1 minute left is when it happened. There we go.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's go ahead and do the power rankings real quick. There has been some movements. Not in last place. That's still me. I've made it home. You know, I've started to decorate, you know, put up like pictures and things like that, because I'm not leaving. You ain't going to move me out. Number seven, I'm bringing it in here. Gritty, Gritty, Bang, Bang. You're coming down. You're coming down a few spots. Even though you guys still have a great team, you can't look past the fact you have a 6-game losing streak, my friend. And so we've got to bring you down here. I'll tell you what, though, if you win next week, we'll bump you up a spot or two, potentially. I'm going to give Team Fitz number six. So even though you're on a win streak right now, I do still look at your team and I struggle trying to see you taking it all the way. But we'll see. You know, you're a sneaky good team. Then chilling with my homies, Jake, I'm bumping you up there. I think you jumped two spots this time with that win. That was an epic win. I'll give you a lot of the props here because that defense, you did such a good job of changing your strategy and streaming the defense and finding that one. I got to give you props to that. That was really good.
Thank you.
Reed's Naughty Boys, I'm bringing you down to number four, mainly because of that 4-game losing streak as well. You have a killer team, but for some reason it's not clicking right now. And yes, I did beat you 2 weeks ago, so yeah. Added to that.
I'm surprised you, I would like to challenge that, but I would like to be at number four, but I can respect it for now. And I have a question for you at the end of these power rankings. I'll let you continue. Sorry for interrupting.
Oh no, you're good. You're good. Then number three, Vladdy Daddy. We're going to give that to you right there. I think you got a good team, but again, it's very hard to beat out these top two teams. Team Mess number two and Hertz Donut number one. We're going to see if Hertz Donut number one is going to get cursed being in the number one spot this week and falls to the number eight. We'll see if that happens. What's your question, Jake?
I was going to say, if I win this week, beat Doug, Reed's Naughty Boys, yeah, we will both be 5-5. Mm. If Vladdy Daddy, is that who you're playing?
No, I'm playing Team Hurt or Hertz Donut.
If Vladdy Daddy loses as well, all three of us will be 5-5. Could I potentially move up to number three on the power rankings if that's the case?
I will put you at number three. If you win this week and Vladdy Daddy loses, you will be number three next week. I promise on that one. So,
all right. So it's happening. I'll be number three next week.
For your sake and for the sake of the podcast, I really hope that happens. Who's Vladdy Daddy? Who's Vladdy Daddy playing? Is he playing?
I'm looking at it right now. Where's his schedule?
It looks like Vladdy Daddy's playing Team Mess. Ooh.
Ooh, it could happen. It could happen.
I need him to as well. So I think we're all rooting for this right now because I need Vladdy to. Well, actually, I mean, on the flip side, if Vladdy loses, that gets me one closer to Vladdy. I don't necessarily need the top guys to lose all the way. I just need the lower guys.
That's right. You just got to sneak in. You just need the four seed. That's it.
That's right. So actually, I need Team Mess to win this one. So
there we go. So Team Mess will move to, that'll put him at 8-2.
Yep. Vladdy would be 5-5, and you would be 5-5.
That's right. I'd be right there. I think that would put me at the, I would still be ranked-wise. I would still be fourth because I lost the head-to-head to him. But yeah, man, that's exciting. I can't believe I could move all the way up to be right there.
You very well could be right up there. And just think, that could have been me. We could have both been 3-7. Like, that could have been us. Hey, or 3-6.
If you won both of the matchups against me, you'd be the one sitting at 4-5 right now, and I'd be at 2-7. So
That's right. Oh man, I'm excited. This is so much fun. I love fantasy football. This is the whole point of fantasy football, man. It's unpredictable. It's fun. It's hard to just keep clawing your way in and just tease people as you go. So
that's right.
Anyways, any parting words for everybody, Jake?
No, nothing comes to mind. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, not a problem. Thanks for having coming on. It's so much more fun when there's somebody here to chat with as well. And while the music's running and playing us out, if it will play, there we go. As we're playing out, if anybody's interested, go check out Jake's Place on YouTube. Great channel. He talks to his girlfriend and a bunch of his friends about a bunch of random things. So have a great week, everybody. Talk to you later.
I'm running the table.